How many read last November's issue of Reader's Digest, that article in there about the miracle of Donnie Martin, where we see him? Any of you in here ever read it? I see one lady, just two, three, many of you, I guess, read it. Well, here it is. I want to read in Acts 2 now, please. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by signs, miracles, as God did by him in the midst of you, which yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel, the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken with wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. David, for David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Let's bow our heads just a moment. Now, Father dear, we love you. We pray that you'll forgive us of our trespasses and help us in this coming part of the service now. And then in the healing line, grant, O Lord God, that your spirit will be so overpowering tonight that Satan cannot hold one speck of doubt in people's hearts, but they may all believe with one accord, and may there be a great rejoicing, and may many that are sitting here sick and afflicted go home well. Sinners, go home saved. Backsliders, go home back in fellowship with God again. Grant it, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll try to get over here just a little bit. If you excuse me, I won't watch that clock, so I won't start the prayer line at 9 o'clock. Now, in the Reader's Digest, it was a very nice article. If you haven't gotten it, just write in and tell them you want last November's issue of Reader's Digest. And now, while I'm saying these things, I don't want you to get worked up and walk out. I want you to sit and listen at it through just a few minutes so you can see how the narrative, how people get, and how thin-minded that people can be. In there was a glorious article. And it was well written. Now, when you get it, you find the subject, the miracle of Donnie Martin. I was in Costa Mesa, California at the time when the event taking place. And I don't like to testify about my own meeting. I'd rather somebody else would do that, because I haven't done one thing, friends. It's what Jesus Christ has did in the meeting. That it isn't me. I've always thought in the writing of the Acts of the Apostles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. I would, to my opinion, now the writer of the Bible, ever who put it together, the early writers, they call it the Acts of the Apostles. But I think what it really is the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles, is what it is. The Apostles never acted it. There's the Holy Spirit acting in the Apostles. What did it? But it's called that, so we just leave it then. Now, the Reader's Digest writes it like this. And it's the most dramatic story and heart-rending story that you've read in a long time to hear how this story starts. It was a way up in Saskatchewan, Canada, almost up into the no man's land. I'd had meetings up around Saskatoon and from there way on up into I forget the name of the place we had up there. I had 10,000 Indians and the Eskimos in the meeting. And a place was many times bigger than this, and just packed out. They're just sitting everywhere, standing on the outside of Eskimos and Indians that came to the meeting. And white people, Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. And so I remember having the meeting there. Anyhow, in there was two deaf and dumb people that had come down from over around another province and were born deaf and dumb. And both of them were healed and went back into their province of speaking and hearing. And so the little Donnie Martin, he had set up some kind of a rare brain disease. And the people had taken him to be examined and everywhere, and they'd give him up. They brought the boy to my service. Now, first, the doctor said the little boy must die. Mayo, John Hopkins, they had him in the United States. Everything, give him up. There's no operation. Said it'd be impossible. If you operated on the boy's head for that, it would kill him instantly. Mayo Brothers. Now, of course, the Reader's Digest didn't say Mayo Brothers because males would get after him for that. You have to watch what you're putting in public literature. And so, there's, but you can read between the lines and see what it meant, see what it said. But we have the tape recording. That's the reason on our meetings. You see, we pick up tapes of every meeting. Somebody comes and says, well, the Lord said to me, sir, and sir, we'll play back over the record and find out whether that's truth or not, see? Then we know right where we got it, see, on the recording. So there's a woman come to me here some time ago and said, well, the Lord said a certain woman is going to be healed right then. I said, well, if he said that, that's just, said she hasn't been healed yet. I said, well, I don't know. Brother Hall was talking to her, so he said, we'll play the recording. Asked what night it was, went back and got the recording and played. Well, the Lord never said anything about it. The woman come on the platform, a perfect unbeliever. She's a rich woman. This was her maid that brought her. And she persuaded her and begged her to come. And finally she got her to the platform like that, and the Lord told her where she had been and who she was and what was her matter, and asked her why she had so much unbelief in her heart. And she said, well, she would try to believe, and it said to her, then after it got through, I said, the Lord bless you and heal you, my sister. She went off the platform. Well, that, I told her, I said, the Lord bless you and heal you. But when God speaks, you hear him, you know who is this speaking then. It's not the preacher, it's him. It speaks then, that's different. What I say, just like any other man, I wanted her to be healed, and I prayed for her, but that's all I could do. But she said, the Lord said so. You watch what he's saying, watch what he tells them, and you'll know just what to depend on. When the little boy, here's the Reader's Digest, the way they wrote it. The little fella had been brought from, they had to put him in a sled or something and bring him over ground. He's twisted, his little hands is drawn down in this condition, his little legs up under him, about 8 years old, his little head setting sideways, his eyes pushed one way and one the other. It's a pitiful looking sight. And the little fellow shook like this and just smelled terrible. And the poor little father, this little sled would turn over nearly when the horses packing through the way, bring them out, and he'd keep patting him on the moonlight night and saying, don't fear, Donnie, honey, we're not whipped yet. Said he knowed two people that had been healed in my meeting and said, if I can ever get where that man's at, God will do something for my baby. So they finally got to the airport, him and his wife, and didn't have enough money for even one of them to come on a plane. They didn't have enough money to come on a train. So they had to take just the man, and he brought the baby. And they come all the way from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, to Los Angeles, California, and went into Traveler's Aid for help. And then, of course, watch the Reader's Digest. It said he was searching, said a divine what? A question mark. I'd imagine what they said. And so they said, never mind, this man believes that if the man prays for his baby, he'll get help. So let's see if we can get it. And they attached the paper, put a car, and they took Wade down in Costa Mesa, 40-something miles down to Assembly of God campgrounds where they had a big school there. And I was speaking to the ministers. And they brought him in that night, and they said there was 2,700 people standing in line to be prayed for when we got there. And, of course, everybody had to require a prayer card. And I was praying for the people. Now, here's where I began to know. I seen him. He said when he stepped out of the car, all those people standing in prayer line, they just stepped back when they seen that poor little ragged father, a little Canadian cap on, walking with this poor little baby, and coming along, he didn't eat. He had to change it just like a baby. It's diapers and everything, and he didn't have time to eat. He just run in and get a drink of water and get hit something deep and then go on. Oh, it was a pathetic story. And so he kept saying, all right, Donnie, we're not whipped yet, honey. We're not whipped yet. And just keep on like that. And when the folks at the place saw, standing in that prayer line way down through that field, when they saw this poor man coming, they just stepped aside to give him his place. Well, when he come to the platform, Billy Paul asked him for his prayer card. course, he didn't have any. He said, "Sir, I didn't even know I had to have a prayer card." Well, Billy and the ushers had orders for the people to line up. That's legitimately and that's right, just exactly what they should be. I heard him. He said, "Well, that's all right." I said, "What must I do now to get a prayer card? Where must I go?" That's holding up the prayer line. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Just a man without a prayer card." I said, "Well, it's having to step off to one side." And I looked back and I seen that baby, and something said to me, "Call him now." I never seen the baby. So the Reader's Digest gives a whole article of it. Now I brought the little baby up, said, never asked a question, but looked right into the little baby's face and said, "You bring this baby from Canada and you come here by a bus, a Greyhound bus. Traveler's Aid has helped," and he'd been there about 5 minutes. "The Traveler's Aid has helped you to get here. And the baby has been to Mayo Brothers and John Hopkins. It's got a rare brain disease, and there's no way for them to operate. The baby must die." And he started screaming real loud, and I prayed for the little baby. He started crying real loud and started off the platform. He turned around and he said, "What about my baby? Will it ever get well?" I said, "That I don't know, sir." And while I was speaking to him, a vision broke forth. And I said, "Yes, your baby, 3 days from now, you're going to meet a woman with a brown-looking, I guess you call it coat suit. It's got a coat here and a skirt beneath. And she's black-headed. And she's going to tell you of some country doctor that can operate on that baby, and you won't believe it. But that's the only hope that you have through the mercy of God and that operation. You let the doctor operate on the baby." Well, he went off the platform crying, and well, the next day the baby seemed to be a lot better after he was prayed for. He could move his little arms. Well, he forgot all about the woman. He was go on that way. So about a few days after that, he was walking down the street, getting it out so he'd get in the air, you know, walking it down the street. And or walking down the street with it in his arms, rather. And a lady said, "What's the matter with your baby, sir?" And he said, "Well, it's a brain disease." He said, "A rare brain disease." And she said, "You know, I know a doctor that operated on a baby like that one time that was that way, and the baby's normal now." Well, he said, "But lady," said, "Mayo brother said it." I said, "Wait a minute, a brown coat suit, black hair." I said, "Say, lady, where's that doctor at?" And the Reader's Digest gives the place who he was. And they took that baby over there, and the doctor performed the operation absolutely successfully. And the baby come out of him. And so they had the baby around there. He got sort to run, meet his daddy and everything. The daddy went back to plant his spring wheat or something or other. Now, here's what the Digest didn't get, see, what didn't picture. But we had to know behind, because if you did, that a hospital would bring suit against this paper, and there's where it would be. A slip-up come. Somebody left a window up one night and threw a draft across the baby, and the baby taken pneumonia and lived about 2 days with a pneumonia. Not with the disease, with the pneumonia killed the baby. The Reader's Digest give it. Then it goes ahead and gives a nice, good write-up about the miracle was already performed anyhow.